Praise Christian Church Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. And we are here waiting for you. Come on in, come on in.
Well, we do praise God for each of you tonight as we prepare for this time together. We bless God and we do give him praise, honor, and glory. For truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Certainly good to be back on this Bible study line. I think last week was a full week around ATOP with Vacation Bible School. And so it's been a week or so now since we have been on. And then, of course, we were out trying to get a little relaxation on this past week as well. But we're back here tonight, and we praise God for each of you. Let us know you're getting a clear signal tonight and that the sound is coming in and that you can hear and see us as we prepare for this time together. We're going to go ahead and get started. There's a lot that we have in front of us, even though there are about 23 verses in this 24th chapter of Leviticus, somewhere in that neighborhood. But we want to try to cover all of that tonight, not necessarily read it all, but just kind of give some explanation in terms of application for our lives, even today. And let's have a word of prayer. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal. We see a few people have joined us. We have several mediums, of course, and we want to make sure that we're connected as we prepare for this time together tonight. Let's say a prayer. God, we're extremely grateful for your presence, your peace, your power, and your protection. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to gather around your word, even tonight on a Monday night. We know that something powerful is going to happen because you said, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you would be in the midst. So we pray to the Lord that you will meet needs tonight and show yourself strong on our behalf. We're certainly grateful for how you bless us even in spite of ourselves. We ask now, dear Lord, that you will forgive us of our sins, that you will strengthen us where we're weak and build us up where we're torn down, and that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you tonight for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said, amen. Amen. All right. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. I tell you, a powerful word on yesterday. Dr. Carolyn Butler stood tall, preacher, teacher of the word. She had a teaching moment there around Joshua, a very familiar passage of scripture, but she dissected it and opened it up and then showed us some things in that text that really kind of helped reinforce the whole emphasis around prayer and how important it is for us to connect with God through the medium of prayer. We know that faith cometh by hearing, but she really opened it up, Lady Kim, and helped us to understand that praying and positioning to hear from God is critical. You've got to not only pray, but you've got to position yourself. And so we were in the airport trying to make our way back to Memphis, and we had an opportunity to glean from that word on yesterday. Dr. Butler stood tall, and even though we were out the past couple of Sundays, I tell you, ATOP did not go lacking. Dr. Qualis did a powerful word the first Sunday talking about prayer, and then Dr. Butler on yesterday just reinforcing. She almost like nailed down that whole argument and debate. And Lady Kim, of course, a couple of weeks before that, you have been talking about prayer. And those of you who've been trying to keep up, that's been the focal point for the last three or four weeks now, trying to reinforce the importance and the significance of prayer and how important that is for us to keep that connection with God. And so what did you glean yesterday? I noticed you were taking notes in the airport, Lady Kim, as we were waiting for our, plane to reach its destination before we got on board. We were waiting for it to come to the terminal so we can board it. But tell the audience a little bit about what you heard and what was the Lord saying to you.
Well, you know, my sound kept going in and out, but it was, like you said, a powerful time in the Lord as Dr. Butler preached from praying and positioning to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that just jumped out at me right away that not only do you have to pray, but you have to position yourself to hear from God. A lot of times we pray and pray and pray and pray, and then we jump up and run off. But have we spent time in solitude, quiet, just listening to God? And so I love the way Dr. Butler started out by having everyone to just take a moment to be quiet, to be silent, and to try to hear from God. So, and she said every time a distraction came in to say Jesus. So I really like that, you know, the practice or discipline of prayer and solitude, that's a discipline.
That's right.
That she told us about. And so right out the bat, you know, it was a great teaching moment that if we have not started already, we need to start.
That's absolutely right. And I think she reinforced that by talking about what you just emphasized, how important it is for us to seek moments of solitude and openness to divine guidance. And so we really must invest in the blessing that God has in store for us.
Amen.
We can't just sit idly by and expect things going to fall through the roof and it's going to come in through the window, and we just sitting in our recliner and relaxing in our easy chair and not participating in what God is trying to do. I believe that we have to invest in our deliverance, and we also have to invest in the breakthrough that God has for us. So that was a powerful time that she, a powerful point that she brought forth in terms of solitude and openness, being open to divine guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to just be quiet and be still and know that God is working on our situation.
Amen.
Because many times we feel as if when nothing is happening and when we don't see anything, any movement in the natural, mm-hmm. that God has forgotten about us.
Right.
But the Bible reminds us to be still, and God himself says, know that I am God. And
yes.
So I think that's important, and know that the Lord will fight our battles.
Amen. Yes. And, you know, she was coming from that familiar passage of Scripture. I don't know why I'm losing my train of thought today. Familiar passage of Scripture of Joshua and how God spoke to Joshua and told him what he needed to do in order to claim the city of Jericho. And I love the way Dr. Butler explained everything. And I, you know, I read it several times, but one thing stuck out to me, you know, the Joshua, the sixth chapter, verses 1-10, and then she skipped down to verses 15 and 16. And for 6 days, God told Joshua and his mighty men of valor, or his military army, to walk around the wall one time a day for 6 days. And then on that seventh day, they were to walk around 7 times. Now, when she said this to me, I said, wow, I hadn't realized this. The length or the walk around the wall equaled out to about 4 miles.
Okay.
And so 4 miles, I think I can do 4 miles, you know, if it's not too hot outside. But
no,
on that
you can't put a barrier on that. You got to deal with it, either you don't do it, because they had things that could have easily prevented them from declining. And I think that's a ploy of the enemy, where when we have instructions, and that's leading into the next point, when we have instructions in terms of what God has given us, we cannot allow the distractions, as you just indicated, or the enemy to come in and try to confuse the plan of God. And so we have to be prepared to do something that we haven't done before, and not put up a bunch of excuses in the face of God's divine direction.
Amen. All right. So that, you know, one lap around that wall was 4 miles. But it said on the seventh day, they were to walk around the wall 7 times. So 7 times 4 miles, that's 28 miles. Whoo, Lord. So they had to walk around the wall for 28 miles. And not only did they have to walk for 28 miles, they were instructed not to say one mumbling word. Now, can you imagine all those people walking around for 28 miles? Shoot, after mile number 3, somebody should have been saying, my feet hurt, or forget this, this is crazy. But they were all obedient, and they all walked in silence. And I think one of the points that Dr. Butler made is we need to get up and move. And getting up and moving requires a response, you know, and we need to do it God's way. We don't need to analyze it. We don't need to think about it too long. We just need to do it. So we just need to move and do it God's way. And then all these military men had to follow the directives. God said, don't say a thing. And everybody complied. Now, if one person had said something, that would have ruined it, ruined the whole thing. But because they were obedient, you know, they were successful. And so she also brought out that in our times of trouble, that sometimes we just need to be quiet. You know, we talk too much. We tell everybody our problems. We go here, we go there. We consult this person and that person. But we sometimes, when we in the midst of a situation, we just need to sit down and shut up.
All right. That's good. That's good advice. And I think you're reemphasizing what we've already expressed in terms of our obedience and then doing it God's way. And not putting up a bunch of excuses in the face of what God has assigned to us, and not become distracted by the naysayers and those who don't fully invest in participating in the breakthrough and the deliverance that God has for them. So let me say right here, Lady Kim, and I know you have a couple more comments. We're certainly grateful for the variety of gifts that we have at ATOP, and how you're going to get a solid word no matter who's standing. And sometimes people get it stuck in their mind that they want to listen to a certain person, or they're used to preaching in a certain style or a certain way. But we have to focus on the word and allow the word to work, and allow the word to do what God has designed for it to do, because he's already said that his word would not return to him void. And so I'm just grateful, and I applaud the gifts of Dr. Kwali Seymour as well as Dr. Butler. And we have a wealth of talents and skill sets at ATOP that rival many churches here in the city and perhaps across the U.S. If we would just go ahead and focus in on what God would have for us to do, and I think we can cover the full gamut of needs in the life of the church.
Amen. Amen. And so Dr. Butler had several points that we'll just kind of briefly talk about. That the first point was position ourselves to hear from God, and that we need to seek moments of solitude and openness to his divine guidance. Mm-hmm. And her other point was we need to prepare to do it God's way. And that's when we were talking about walking around that wall for one time for 6 days, and then 7 times on that seventh day. And God's way was to be absolutely quiet. And we need to trust God's instructions, because when we trust God's instructions, it definitely leads to victory. And then we need to persist in obedience. Even when challenges seem insurmountable, we need to remain faithful. Sometimes what God tells us to do seems so crazy. You know, it's crazy and outlandish to other people. It may seem crazy and outlandish to us. But if we know that we're truly following God's guidance and direction, then we'll never come out or turn out looking foolish. In the end, we will win. And in the end, when they went around that wall, when they came to that 28th mile, that last meter of the way, they were to blow the ram's horns and then shout with a loud shout. And the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. So what walls do we have in our lives that seem insurmountable? What walls are in our lives that we are afraid to speak to? Need to go to God in prayer. Pray about it. Spend some quality, quiet time with God, and God will speak to your heart. And just do it. Just do what He tells you to do. Don't argue with God. Don't question God. Just do what God tells you to do. We need to persist in obedience and stay faithful.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? That sounds like a part three to me. We've had a part two tonight. Sounds like a part three is on the horizon. But thank you again, Dr. Butler. If you're on, we certainly appreciate you. And we were praying and we were watching and we were giving thumbs up even as we were preparing to press our way back to the city. And so we're grateful for how everybody held fast and even doing Vacation Bible School. A wonderful time. I heard from the superintendent today, and she said they had record numbers in attendance for the week. And then several people gave their life to the Lord and came forth as candidates for baptism. And I tell you, that's the way it should be. And so we know that great things are yet in store and that the best is yet to come. Yes. And so we praise God for all of those who worked hard doing Vacation Bible School. Amen. And making sure that the lessons were taught and that the people got a full meal, a spiritual meal, and then a little something on the side after they finished. That was probably our first Vacation Bible School that we missed in the past 24 years, when you agree, Lady Kim?
Yes.
And so our hearts were in the building, but we were not present. And so Lady Kim and I, of course, many of you are already well aware, had an opportunity to go and spend some time and relax and to rejuvenate ourselves and prepare for the next leg of the journey. So we're yet excited, and we praise God for each of you. And we're looking forward to what God is going to do next. So let's give God a thumbs up or a hand clap or a hallelujah or a thank you, Lord, for Dr. Carolyn Butler. Great job.
Awesome job.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Dr. Butler.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, Lady Kim, what else do we have before we jump into this 24th chapter of Leviticus? Anything else you wanted to bring up about what happened during the time that we were out? It seemed like it was much longer than 7 days, mm-hmm. Because we certainly miss the people of God when we are not there. And we know that God has so equipped and prepared leaders to carry the ball. And that's really what it's all about. When we go through all of these trainings and when we go through all of these workshops and preparation, you have to give people opportunity to use their gifts. And I tell you, that's exactly what's happening at Anointed Temple of Praise. Anything else you want to share about what happened over the past week?
No, we just had an awesome time of rest and relaxation, and just thankful that we were able to get away for a while. It's been quite some time since we've taken a break. I don't think we've ever missed two Sundays in a row.
At the worship service. No, we haven't. And I hung on the side of the ship for about 3 days. Lady Kim wouldn't let me back into the room because she said I was acting up. So I finally got a chance to have somebody pull me up on the side of the ship to get me back into the room so that I could go to sleep on that second day. But we made it back, and we praise God for
it. I don't know what I'm going to do.
How He's sustaining us. All right. Leviticus, this 24th chapter, is an interesting chapter. Mm-hmm. We're not going to prolong it. We're not going to try to read all of this, but there's some guidelines here, Lady Kim, that helps give direction for what this 24th chapter is all about. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
And so there are a lot of regulations concerning the lampstand, the bread, the presence of God, and mm-hmm. also blasphemy.
Right.
Do you have your information that you normally would present to us in terms of a framework for the chapter that we're going to explore tonight?
Absolutely. Just like you said, you know, it's broken down into like four different categories.
Okay.
And so for the outline, first it's the golden lampstands. Chapter 24, verses 1 through 4 talks about the golden lampstands. And then verses 5 through 9 talk about the bread for the golden table.
Mm-hmm.
And verses 10 through 16 talk about punishment for blasphemy.
Okay.
And verses 17 through 23 talk about the requirements of justice.
Okay. And I think one of the things that when we run into chapters such as this, many times we lose sight of what God is trying to say to us when we don't seem to connect with what's happening in the culture during the time this particular writing takes place.
Right.
But we can glean some spiritual truths from all of this, because God is yet speaking, and it gives us clear signals in terms of representation of all of these symbols, so to speak, the lampstand and the bread, as well as blasphemy. Mm-hmm. We can find God speaking to us in all of this, because the word says his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So that lampstand in Leviticus 24 could very easily symbolize God's light shining in our lives and guiding us and illuminating our path.
Amen.
And so we will not ever lose sight of missing the message that God has for us, because we say, oh, that was something that happened back then,
mm-hmm.
and it really doesn't apply to us. No, God's word is relevant. His word is able to break through culture and give us meaning and give us guidance and direction. And so we have to be open to the leading of God. And then we have to go ahead and take a deep dive to really find out the importance and the significance of what that word might mean to us personally.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good. And so, you know, in those first four verses, it talks about how the priest was to manage the lampstands on the golden manage the lamps on the golden lampstands
okay.
in the tabernacle each day. And the lights were to be kept burning continually from evening to morning. So those lights could not go out. They had to continually fuel it with oil. And that was the mandate from God. And what I took away from that is that God has given us his light.
That's right.
And that his light is to shine in us continually.
Mm-hmm.
Day and night.
Okay.
And so that's one of the practical applications that I took from that, is that even though the priest had to keep the lamp burning on the lampstand so that it could illuminate, that Jesus is the light, Jesus is the light that should shine through us.
Okay. That I think you kind of mentioned a couple of songs in that mm-hmm. Explanation, Jesus is the light.
The light shines in us.
Isn't that a song?
Uh-huh.
And then this little light of mine.
Right.
We gotta let it shine. I feel something in my vocal cords right
uh-oh.
There.
Watch out.
Everywhere we go, we ought to let that light shine.
Absolutely.
But we gotta make sure that the light stays lit by preparing ourselves, as Dr. Butler
yes.
indicated on, and positioning ourselves
through
for
prayer.
What God is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes through prayer. And so when the time does come, we don't have to go back trying to find a light to light,
mm-hmm.
you know, something to light our light.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a continuous light that's shining in us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evident because others will see the light. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need in this world today. Even while we were away, it was murders and people losing their lives. And light shining dark. It's not evident everywhere. But those of us who carry that light, we have an important role to play in letting that light shine. We don't put it under a bushel. We don't hide it. We don't put it where it's not evident, because people are looking and longing for that light. And we need light in this dark and sin-sick world. And whenever you allow light to illuminate in a room that's dark, it's going to show up everything, and it's going to give direction, and it's going to give also guidance for those who are trying to find their way.
Amen. And even at the darkest times in our lives, we have to reach within and find the light that God has put in us in order to move forward. And if we, you know, take the time to meditate and pray and ask for God's guidance, His light will begin to burn brightly for us. Like you said, that scripture that talks about thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, when you put a light to your feet, it enables you not to stumble. And then when it lights the path, it gives you direction in which to go.
That's it. And so we need that more so today than ever before. Now, keep in mind, these were some dark times in our text and mm-hmm. the culture. It was a gloomy time, and God was giving specific regulations and instructions. All throughout Leviticus, we see God is establishing a mandate and a protocol for what He expects, and He's being very specific even here in this 24th chapter about the importance and the significance of the lampstand bearing that light. And then He talks about the bread and talks about blasphemy. And so that bread, what does it say about the bread, Lady Kim? What do you have in terms of the representation or what it reminds us of?
The bread for the golden table. Each week the bread was prepared and placed on the golden table in the tabernacle.
Okay.
The bread was replaced each Sabbath day, and the old bread was given to the priest. 12 loaves of bread were made each week. They were arranged in two piles, and frankincense were placed on top of each pile.
Okay. So the bread was in the tabernacle.
Yes.
And it had to be placed there how often?
It had to be replaced each Sabbath day.
Okay.
So they each week the bread was prepared and placed on the golden table in that tabernacle.
Okay. So the bread really, as we make the connection again for the application for us, it the bread reminds us of the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus as the bread of life.
Amen.
I think over in John it talks about He's the bread of life. And so, and that bread is what really sustains us spiritually. And so we can't you know, take that for granted or not be fully vested in what's necessary in order for us to endure and to be sustained in difficult times. Because many times I think, Lady Kim, people they don't practice, as you talked about earlier, in the discipline of being diligent in their effort to be sustained. And sometimes we wait until hard times hit us or we find ourselves with our backs up against the wall. That's when we really dig deep and start trying to connect with God really, really, you know, like we need Him right now.
Right, right.
And so what I'm saying is that we don't need to wait until that happens. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that that relationship is intact so that when things do start crashing in, God will know us, He'll know our voice, and we'll know His voice.
Amen.
And I think many times you find out that so many voices out there vying for our attention. Mm-hmm. Till when we're in the crisis and in a crunch, we'll end up taking on a substitute and missing out on the Savior because we have not had proper relationship with Him. And we have not been consistent in our diligence and in our discipline to follow the mandate that He has for our lives.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And so that bread, we have to seek that bread of life.
Yes.
The bread of life. Yes.
And so I think the next portion talks about the punishment that happens here, isn't it? Go ahead. I'm sorry. You about to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say the punishment for blasphemy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They still laughing at how I told them how you put me out the room and let me back in for two days. We was on the 7-day cruise and I stayed in the... all right, go ahead.
Don't say that.
All right.
You had those people believe in that. Dr. Q had an interesting point, you know, when we were talking about I think the lights shining, and she said it's like going down the freezer aisle at Kroger. The boxes light up as you pass by them. So that's a good analogy.
What happens when you come out of Kroger?
You don't go to the grocery store.
That's right. I go in the daytime. I'm trying to figure out.
No, you know, when you go to the freezer section where the pizzas are and the frozen vegetables,
right.
Now they have that when you... they're dark, and when you walk by, when you open the door, light comes on.
No, yes. I don't hang out in
and
that
so
section.
So you can go past there, and they'll light up.
They'll
as
light
you
up.
Walk by. Yes.
Even during the day?
Yes.
Okay.
So you can see what you need
I'm
to do. I
have to go down
there.
Through there and see what's going on. That's I learned something new tonight. So. But that's a consistent shopper that knows that, right?
Absolutely.
And they understand how they've changed everything in the store because they frequent that store.
Right.
And so it is with us in our relationship with God, and I think that's tied right in because, you know, when you're not in constant communication and relationship with God, you want to understand how God is moving, and you're looking for God to move the way He did back then, and mm-hmm. God said, no, we moving in a whole nother way. You know, I'm still God, but... your situation is of such where I've got to be more creative in terms of helping you understand the message that's going to get you through these tough times that you're
Amen.
Living in.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely right.
And so I'm going to have to make sure I make a visit to Kroger, though, check this out.
Tell how often you go to Kroger down the frozen food.
Inside,
now.
On the frozen food?
Yeah,
no.
You just go get the popcorn and the drinks
and the
green tea.
No. No.
And but the oranges and the apples.
There you go. And the fruit. There you go.
Yeah, you go there. But you know they have it in that section, the produce section. Yeah, they've changed things where they put the produce in these little behind these doors and refrigerated doors. But anyway.
Okay.
Unless we digress from the
I think it's all after football, Lady Kim. I don't think it's too much digression, but See, you got that Chicago Southside look on you now. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. I'm going to show y'all these bruises on my arm Sunday. Y'all make sure y'all ask me when y'all ask me what happened.
You need to go to the altar.
All right. I'll be glad to do so. But no, this is a powerful lesson here in Leviticus 24. And I'm joking. Lady Kim, she didn't slap me but twice. But this is a powerful.
I'm so violent.
All right.
People think I'm violent.
No, I'm just joking, y'all. She didn't hit me but once. Well, I don't remember, but she kicked me a couple of times. But this, see that? There she go now. She's kicking me. She's kicking me under the table. All right. So.
Oh, boy.
For us today, I think this is a powerful framework for us understanding our connection and our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And as believers, we can really apply these principles by seeking God's guidance in our lives. It's right in line with the sermon yesterday. And by nurturing, you talked a little bit about that, nurturing ourselves in God's word and honoring Him as we be obedient to what He calls for us to do. And so we have to walk closely with God. We can't be slack in terms of our participation in the divine breakthrough that God has for us. Mm-hmm. And we have to be consistent in our spiritual disciplines so that when the time does come for us to, get strength, additional strength from God through a difficult time in our lives, it won't be foreign to God nor to us that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God's got us.
Right. Absolutely.
James says for us to count it all joy.
All joy.
When we go through trials. Not if we go through trials, but when we go through trials and tribulations. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith is what worketh patience. Then he goes on to say, let patience have a perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wow. So we have to go through some things, and we have to maintain proper balance in terms of our relationship with God. We can't be fair weather Christians.
Right.
We can't be sunny day Christians, mm-hmm. and all of that. We have to be everyday Christians.
Amen.
So that when the time does come, Jesus himself said, in this life you're going to have troubles, mm-hmm. But be of good cheer.
Uh-huh.
I've already overcome.
Overcome the world.
And so that doesn't mean that we're not going to grieve. We're not going to have moments in our lives. But we can pick up and we can still move forward because we know that God is carrying us even at those lowest moments in our life. That's a word for somebody who's listening tonight, because you just probably just tuned in and really you're so burdened right now with different situations that seem to be weighing you down. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if it's hopeless, but no. God is yet perfecting you. He's preparing you. He's positioning you for what he's trying to get done in you. So think it not strange concerning the trials which are trying to try you. But know that God has your best interest in mind.
Yes, he does.
And he's promised that he'll never let you go. He'll never let you off. And here it is. He loves you too much to leave you where you are.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I think we left off about talking about the punishment for blasphemy.
Yes.
And these verses describe, verses 10 through 16 describe a situation where a young man has blasphemed the name of the Lord during a fight with another man. I think it was an Egyptian and another young man. The young man who blasphemed was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses asked the Lord what needed to be done with the blasphemer. And the Lord told Moses he was to be killed for his disrespect.
Right.
Now, that really that was kind of unsettling to me.
Okay.
Because I think of how many people, if it had not been for Jesus, how many people would have to die because they blasphemed the name of the Lord. All people disrespect God's name all the time.
That's
and they
right.
don't think anything of it. But when Moses asked the Lord, what should he do with this blasphemer? The Lord spoke clearly to Moses and told him that he needed to be killed for his disrespect.
Mm.
So the Israelites took this man out of the camp and they stoned him to death. Moses warned the people saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. So whoever curses God is going to bear or be responsible for that sin. And the message from God was that they were to be stoned to death.
And part of the sins of the community were upon the person who was being stoned, or it was almost like it was that person taking on the full weight of all of the transgressions that had occurred as a result of him bearing the burden of that sin for not just himself, but for the community. And so that was a fresh start for them. We're going to see next week that we start talking about the year of Jubilee, mm-hmm. and how this is setting up what God is trying to get done in terms of rest and restoration for the children of Israel, because they were going through a very difficult time. But somewhere I read that this was part of the whole penance, if you will, not only for the person who had transgressed, but he carried the weight of all of the sins of the community.
Wow.
As a result of that sin. Mm-hmm. And he died. He was stoned to death because of the transgression.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just shudder to think how many people take the name of the Lord in vain.
That's
or
right.
Blaspheme God's name. And how many of us will be left today. But, you know, the application is that we see that there's a natural punishment for sin. And we see what grace saves us from.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus died on the cross, his grace covered our sins.
His grace covered it.
And
that's
so
right.
We see that natural punishment for sin was stoning to death.
Mm-hmm.
But we also see in the New Testament God's saving grace and how he saves us from our sins.
Okay. Look at verse 14, and that's where I was kind of trying to pick that up so that those who are yet listening can get a point of reference to how this person, and we talked back several chapters ago about the scapegoat and what was that all about and how we use that term even today. But it was significant in terms of how they laid their hands upon the head of the person who had blasphemed and how this sin of the man could have involved the entire community in punishment.
Amen. We're in Leviticus, the 24th chapter, verse number 14. Take outside the camp him who has cursed. Then let all who heard him lay their hands on his head and let the congregation stone him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was an active participation. Read down through about 17, Lady Kim, if you still have that.
Mm-hmm.
It was an active participation of the community, and it was similar to the community was the transfer of the sins by laying their hands on that person who had committed the sin.
Okay, verse 15, then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's 17.
Okay. And so when he talks about shall bear his sin, it was shall bear full responsibility. And so all of that was subject to the punishment that was upon that person. And by the laying on of hands and by the community leaders coming together to affirm that, they were really standing on behalf of the community and the sins of those who had sinned in the community.
Mm-hmm.
All of that was kind of transferred upon the laying on of hands of the person that was found guilty.
Amen. Yeah. And there's a difference between blasphemy and cursing. You know,
we
know what how to curse. You know, somebody can curse God or curse, you know, saying something about God. But blasphemy is a great disrespect shown to God or to something that's holy.
Okay.
So God really frowned upon that. So, It can be something said or done that shows this kind of disrespect.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make that clear that, you know, we need to be careful not to blaspheme God or things that belong to God.
Okay, that's good. So what are some takeaways as we put, it was 24 verses or 23?
23, mm-hmm. Yes. And the last few verses talk about 17 through 23, the requirements of justice.
Okay.
Yes. And these verses speak to God's demand for justice and the prescribed punishment for criminals.
Mm-hmm.
If a man murdered another man, the murderer was to be put to death. If a man killed an animal which belonged to another, He was to replace the animal with an equivalent. If a person injured their neighbor through violence, the injury inflicted on the victim would be inflicted on the aggressor. So it was like an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
You know, if you break my arm, then I have to turn around and break your arm.
All right.
So.
Why you look at me like that when you say it? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, Lord. Help you today.
And so, you know, that's still right in line with what we already said, because it takes on, when you talk about bearing another person's sin, it takes on the full weight of, you know, being responsible,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. full responsibility for the transgression or the sin or the act of blasphemy that mm-hmm. has been committed. Mm-hmm. There's going to be, you're subject to whatever the law says mm-hmm. is going to happen.
Right.
That's what you're going to, so that's what's going to happen to you.
Right.
So yeah. The punishment matches the crime, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes, I do. It, you know, and it's actually incredible that God allows any of us to continue living, considering we regularly disrespect Him.
Somebody say grace.
Hey, grace.
I know that's right.
We do things that corrupt His creation, and we lead others away from honoring
Him. My.
So it's
you
incredible.
Said a mouthful, yeah, there, Reverend.
That God allows us to continue living.
Yeah.
When we have defamed Him and
Absolutely.
Said horrible things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's powerful right there.
Not only that, we live in this world and we don't honor God's world. You know, we pollute the oceans,
right.
and we throw trash around, and we pollute the sky, and don't take God's creation into mm-hmm. consideration. Mm-hmm. We walk around like we have a right to life, like, you know, I deserve to be here, and like our continuation on this earth is somehow owed to us. But, you know, God doesn't owe us anything. And in Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23, it says the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
But the gift of God
is eternal life. My.
So we have to be mindful about the wages of sin. The story reveals what we deserve, but God is gracious, and He tolerates a whole
Hallelujah.
Lot of stuff from us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So
aren't you glad?
Yeah, we need to take a minute to thank God for His patience for tolerating
That's right.
us.
Thank
you know?
God for His mercy and
yes,
for His grace.
Yes, Lord, His mercy and grace.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the interesting thing that you said about how this was an equal opportunity situation, because it was not just for the Israelites, but it was for the foreigner as well.
Absolutely.
And how everybody had to bear the full weight of responsibility for whatever the sin or the transgression was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Well, that's bringing us to the close of this chapter. Mm-hmm. This is chapter 24. We have gone over tonight. We're certainly grateful for each of you who are on this Monday night Bible study. And we just finished the 24th chapter, and we talked about the sermon from yesterday. And I think it's falling right in line, because there's a word here that reminds us about letting our light so shine, about positioning ourselves, mm-hmm. about praying to God, aligning with God's word, being
right.
obedient to that word. And then trusting God, because He has our best interests at heart, and that He promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll be with you always, even
always.
Unto the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should give us even more, I guess, more responsibility and more discipline in terms of being responsible to what God has done for us, and know that we can participate in the breakthrough and the deliverance that He has in store.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. God is truly an awesome God.
He's faithful.
Yes, He is.
Even when we're not.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, any prayer requests that any of you have as we prepare to close out tonight, we're certainly grateful again for each of you being on. And we have been tremendously blessed the last couple of Sundays by Dr. Butler as well as Dr. Qualis. If you didn't get a chance to hear those messages, it's out there on our website, and you're welcome to go back and view them. But great job, and we're looking forward. This Sunday is Father's Day.
Father's Day.
Lady Kim, and so yes. Also we're celebrating your birthday. We didn't mention that while we were on the cruise. You were out there on your birthday.
Yes.
Had a great time, and a time of relaxation, and many people have already expressed their appreciation and congratulations. I guess, is it congratulations for your birthday?
Huh?
Is that right?
Okay. You can congratulate somebody on the number of years that God has allowed a person to remain on this earth.
Okay.
So, yes, congratulations are in order. But the cruise was also a graduation gift.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So, birthday and graduation all rolled up in one.
So, three and a half years of laboring and making sure that you finish that. And then June was a good time to do it. And so, once it hit the schedule, and that's one thing about planning something. If you keep on living, it's going to come around.
It'll
that
come
time
around.
Is going to come around.
Come.
Yeah.
Yes, it will.
So, I'm not going to ask you to tell people how old you are, because they're probably looking at me now trying to give a good guesstimate. But no, Lady Kim was about 15 when I married her, so y'all can't really assess this situation. And now she was much older than that. But she was much older than that. But we praise God for. We were talking to somebody. I don't know where we were. We had several stops that we made when we got off, and the man complimented Lady Kim in terms of guessing her age, and I almost fell out the floor when he told me how old he thought I was. I received the blessing that he blessed me with.
Amen.
All right. Well.
Well, we have some other significant things happening this weekend too.
All right, here
we go. Saturday, Big Trey's Barbecue. Come on out, y'all.
The 15th.
It's this coming Saturday.
Is that the 15th?
Yes.
Is that right?
The 15th. Mm-hmm. And Sunday is the 16th, Father's Day.
That's right. That's
so
right.
This is going to be a great weekend.
It's going to be awesome.
Bring the kids out. We're going to have, I believe, the water slides and the music and
Stan Bell is going to be there. He's going to be DJing.
A lot of things going on. Yeah. So bring the family out. Rib plates are $15. Chicken plates are $12. If you haven't purchased your ticket already, you can purchase your ticket from someone at the church, or that's to guarantee you a plate. But if you don't have a ticket, still come on out. There may be a few plates left over, a few tickets left. So come on out. We're not going to turn anybody away until the last bone is gone.
We're going to make a way. So, that rhymes right there.
Yes. So Big Dre's Barbecue Cook-Off. It's a contest. And I don't know how many. I don't know how many contestants we have this year.
Yeah.
Last year we had quite a few.
Right.
But there are prizes for the contestants. And bragging rights.
The proceeds will go to Meals
from the Heart.
So
yes.
All of this is helping to undergird our major outreach effort that where we feed our feeding program.
Amen.
And so we hope that this is not a building fund project or none of that. So we hope that you will participate. And even if you say, well, I don't eat chicken or barbecue, you can make a tremendous donation or
Amen.
Contribution.
Amen.
Because all the proceeds are going to Meals from the Heart.
Yes.
And we believe that it's a worthwhile ministry investment.
Yes.
And we hope many of you will participate and be a part of that.
Yes. Amen. And so, Sister Sharon Jackson wants to thank the ATOP family for all the cards and support and the loss of her nephew. And so She says she's so glad to be part of the ATOP family. Well, we bless God for you.
That's right. That's right.
All that you bring to the ministry, absolutely. Sister Sharon. And I think I messed your name up two or three times. One time I said Jackson, one time I said Johnson. And somebody said, is it Johnson or Jackson? It's Sharon Jackson. So I got it straight.
Okay.
But please forgive me if you receive a card that has Johnson on it, okay? But we have other prayer requests also. Lift up the family of Brother Norris C. and that's the loss right. of his brother. I do not have other information right now, but of course that information will be forthcoming. And we most certainly thank all of you for the prayers for Dr. Murray's family, the Murray family, and the loss of his nephew, Anthony Hanley. Such a young life, you know, that has the light of his life is gone from us. But he will always be remembered for the way he was seeking and searching for God. And so we thank God for you and for all the cards and the calls and text messages that we have received in the loss of our nephew, Anthony Hanley, who is also the first cousin of Evangelist Darlene Cleveland, Tiffany Richmond, and Tierra Murray. That was their first cousin. So we just ask that you continue to lift up the Murray family, Pastor Murray's sister Gloria Palmer and her husband Ronnie, in your prayers, as well as their extended family.
Okay. All right. Lady Kim, will you close us out with a word of prayer?
Sure. Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We thank you for allowing us this opportunity to come to you in prayer. We ask God that you would just bless all those who have tuned into this Bible study tonight and those who will tune in the future. We ask that something will be said or that will uplift their spirits and prick their hearts and minds to bring them and draw them closer to you. We thank you for the gifts that you have given the people of ATOP in order for us to continue to go forth and do your work and your will. We ask a special blessing on Big Dre's barbecue cook-off on this Saturday. We claim it as a rousing success, and we pray for fathers on this upcoming Father's Day that you would continue to lead every father and bless every father, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise Amen. God.
Thank you, everybody, for joining tonight. We
Be
love
blessed.
You guys.
All right.
See you guys on Saturday, Big Dre's
That's
Barbecue.
Right. That's right.
Bye-bye.